A reading from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk amid and around them, for there were a great many upon the face of the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "O mortal, can these bones live?" I said, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to the bones, 'Behold, I shall cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I shall lay sinews upon you. I shall draw out flesh over you, and skin shall cover you. I shall put breath in you. You shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied that which I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, there was a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and sinews were upon them, flesh was drawn over them, and skin covered them, but breath was not in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain ones so that they may live.' I prophesied that which I was commanded, and breath entered into them. They lived and stood upon their feet, a vast multitude of exceeding might. Then he said to me, 'O mortal, these bones are all the house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried and our hope is destroyed. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves. I shall bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and when I raise you from your graves, O my people, for I shall put breath in you, and you shall live. I will place you on your land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you are willing, and as I begin, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our guide through this hallowed valley. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ who weeps with us. Amen. The hand of the Lord came upon me. He brought me out by his Spirit, his breath, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk through them and around them and upon them. I broke some. They sliced open the skin of my feet. I saw pieces of others brutally sliced by Chaldean swords. There were so many bones. My guide, God, turned to me and asked, "O mortal, can these bones live?" half sobbing and half yelling, I cried, "Oh God, my master, you know." This is the prophetic speech of Ezekiel Bainbuzi, an exiled son of a priest who was jailed and marched to the land of Chaldea, where he and his people were brutalized, traumatized, and made to forsake their own identities. This is Chaldea, also called Babylonia, where Israelites were killed in more ways than one. This is Chaldea, also called Babylonia, in which the Israelites were robbed of even their names. This is Chaldea, also called Babylonia, where Ezekiel the prophet first saw God. I first saw God in a church pew. I was no captive like our prophet. I loved to listen to the words of the preacher. He spoke wisdom. He told stories. He cried at times. He said he pulled all this from a book, week by week. This book, of course, was the Holy Bible, the 66 books of the Protestant canon that have so guided our faith for these many years. He saw this as the foundation for joy, the foundation for life, the foundation for wisdom. So he spent many hours each week preparing a sermon for our reception, to reach my ears, to touch my heart. He read the books. He penned the words of his sermon. He thought. He prayed. He rehearsed the words at home and in the mirror of his office. And on Sunday morning, he stepped into the sanctuary and he spoke these words. He preached these words of wisdom that he rooted in this holy book. So now I, a child, enamored with the words of this preacher, I turn to his source, the scriptures. I read many of them through, searching for that wisdom that the preacher claimed was there. I started with, "In the beginning." I made it to Revelation's end. I read the stories of the Israelite judges. I labored through the epistles of Saints John and Paul. I love so much of it. These stories which captivated. That wisdom, the wisdom of which my preacher spoke, that I did not find. Now I saw bits in the Gospels of Christ. I encountered some in the wisdom of those Israelite Psalms. But the wisdom of the pulpit, the wisdom he spoke, it wasn't there. When I read the Holy Bible, this is what I saw. I saw death. I saw doom. I saw violence and pain. I saw people weeping for their cities that God destroyed. I saw Joshua commanded to level cities and their people into the ground. For I saw a psalmist cry for violence against the children of his enemies. Now these are only bits and pieces that I understood, as I myself was separated both by year and by mile from the location of these texts' creation. So I became confused. Very confused. Because I still heard good and powerful wisdom from the preacher on Sunday. The hand of the Lord came upon me. He brought me out by his spirit, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk through them, around them, and upon them. There were so many bones, and they were so very dry. God said to me, "Oh, mortal, can these bones live?" And I said, "Oh, Lord God, you know." I remember the day my bones became dry. I remember the day my hope was robbed from me. I was working as usual, and pain suddenly started to course through my body. It started small, so I didn't think much, but it quickly grew in this physical pain reached me all, from my core to my extremities, and eventually from my body to my mind. The pain reached me all. It was a pain I couldn't explain, and it was reaching all of me, but no sweat, a doctor would figure it out. And soon I could go back to the life I once had, the body I once had. But little did I know this wasn't true. That life I once had was gone. A physical state, a physical body that I don't know if I'll ever know again. I went to the doctor. Well, I went to multiple, actually. I started with a general doctor, and then I went to a specialist, and then another. I even made it to the best hospital in Texas, to their top doctors. I was already months in, but they gave up on me. They couldn't help me. They left me abandoned and alone. My hope withered. My bones dried. And this pain, it was still present through it all, as it had been since the day it started. The hand of the Lord came upon me. He brought me out by his spirit, his breath, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk through them, and he made me walk upon them and around them. There were so many bones. They were so dry. God, my guide, he said to me, "O mortal, can these bones live?" And I said, "O Lord God, you know." Ezekiel Bainbuzi saw God on the banks of the river Kivar, now 5 years bound in Chaldean chains. Israel, the land, was distanced by mile and by year, and his picture of home in his mind was now blurred. He remembered the joys of his childhood and the community of his home. He remembered his father, a priest, his stints in his temple, serving the people there, serving their God, their guide. He remembered his father reading the scrolls, and he remembered the wisdom that his father preached. Do you think that Ezekiel ever read the scrolls himself? Or questioned at least his father's tales? Do you think he paused when the stories soured? Do you think he soured when in the stories evil won? Ezekiel may not tell us this straight, but he shows us in his book's opening, its opening line. For when Abraham sent his wife Hagar and his son Ishmael into the desert to die, God saw them. God appeared. Horrified by the evil that had been done to them by Abraham. For when the Chaldeans sent Ezekiel into the desert to slave, Ezekiel says that God saw him and appeared, horrified by the evil that had been done him. In hopelessness, Ezekiel tells us that he saw God. And in mirroring Hagar's vision, he shows us something profound. He shows us that his vision of God, his understanding of God, is not limited to the words of his father's texts or the words of Israel's texts. Rather, while he roots his understanding of God in these texts, the text of his native land and the notions of his religious past, he envisions a God that speaks to his present. His present. Dry bones in the Chaldean exile. The hand of the Lord came upon me. He brought me out by his spirit, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was filled with bones. He made me walk through and made me walk around them and made me walk upon them. There were so many bones. They were so dry. God, my guide, said to me, O mortal, can these bones live? I said, O Lord God, you know. O God, you know, I screamed this one night, lying awake as my nerves pained and my eyes welled with tears. I was screaming to God not only that he knew of the pain that I have, but also of how long it would persist. My heart rate rose, the walls closed in, and I pleaded with God that he might take the pain away and leave me cured and whole again. My bones were so dry. Why was I doomed? Why was I damned to endure the pain I have? Why was I condemned to this hell? Was I to be here eternally like a goat from the sheep or chaff from the wheat? I cried, oh God, you know. And then I sunk back into my pain. Through many nights like these, I came to know what Hagar and Ezekiel knew before me. I came to know that these texts are not universal wisdom, but their language for meaning. These texts, especially those of the prophets, hold language for meaning when hope fails. Hagar knew the God of Abraham, but when she was hungry, she saw El Roi, the God who sees me. Ezekiel knew the God of the Israelite temple who dwelt in Israel, but when he was hopeless, he envisioned a God in Chaldea, a foreign land. I knew the God that left me pained and rotting, but in this I've chosen to see another. I've chosen to see El Roi, the God who sees me, the God in Chaldea, the God who weeps with me in my pain. This is the God that I read into the prophet's 37th chapter, the God who takes Ezekiel and places him in the middle of the valley that was full of bones that were so very dry. This may be a passage that horrifies, one that horrifies its listener or reader, but I read its God not to be the God who horrifies us, but the God who weeps with us. And if it is the God who weeps with us, then why did he place the prophet here? If this is the God who weeps with us, we must ask, how? What might these dry bones now mean? I prophesied that which I was commanded, and there was a sound. There was a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and I saw now that sinews now came upon them. Flesh was drawn over them and skin covered them. They were there, but breath was not in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O mortal, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come, O breath, and breathe upon those who have been slain so that they may live. I prophesied that which I was commanded, and breath entered them. They lived, and they stood upon their feet, a vast multitude of exceeding might. In this prophecy, God recreates humanity. In Genesis, God took the mud of the earth and formed a human. God took mud and made a perfect sculpture. Then God breathed into it, made breath enter it, and the first human, Adam, was born. This was perfect humanity, and God saw that it was good. Here in this prophecy, God creates anew. God takes the fruit of the valley and builds it up to make humanity again. But the fruit of this valley is not that of Eden. The fruit of this valley is not that of Eden. This valley was once torn by violence, a large battle that littered it with the bones of warriors, broken and now dry. And God commands Ezekiel, the prophet he placed there, to prophesy. And immediately, there's a sound. They rattle. They come together and they make a humanity that is new. But unlike Ezekiel's audience might have understood it, I see this prophecy declaring something more than a recreation, something more than a reestablishment of the people of Israel in their land, something more than just a resurrection of humanity. I see this prophecy as a pronouncement of reshaping. I see this prophecy as a pronouncement of reshaping. When God formed the body of Adam, God did so with pieces pristine and untouched. When these bones came together, they're broken and dry. They've been chipped by the arrows of archers. They've been crushed by the soldiers' broadswords. They've been left to bake under 5 years of sun. And yet they come together. They join to one another, bone to bone. And soon sinews join them. Flesh is drawn over them, and skin covers them. Then God commands, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O mortal, and say to the breath, 'Come, O breath. Come and breathe upon those who are slain, those who are 5 years slain, so that they might live.'" Here I see a vision of humanity through the eyes of a God who weeps with me. And as we saw in our passage from the Gospel, a Christ who weeps with us also. I see a vision of humanity that does not look like the humanity of Eden that has been used damagingly to throw away people of unconventional bodies. But instead, I see a humanity that looks like the humanity of this earth. I see a great many, a vast multitude of people like you, like me, whose bodies are not what society or culture understands as the ideal. I see a sea of people whose bodies are not the norm. I see me crying in my bed and begging God. I see you crying in the doctor's office and begging God. I see a humanity that reflects the humanity that actually exists. Now, if this is the humanity that actually exists, what does this mean for us? Since we are humanity made of these bones, what does this tale mean for the way we envision the very concept of being human? If being human is being from Eden, then I'm no human at all. If being human is being from Eden, then those of us disabled are not human at all. The image of Eden is not our image. For us, it questions our very humanity. It paints a picture in which we cannot even see ourselves. But this valley is where the God who sees us recreated humanity in our image. In this valley, God recreated humanity to be the humanity that actually exists. A humanity made up of all bodies. A humanity made up of all abilities, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, other. A humanity made up of all of us that live and breathe together. This is the prophetic speech of Ezekiel Vambuzi, an exiled son of a priest who was jailed and marched to the land of Chaldea. This is a vision of all people disabled who see our creation in his vision of bones. Together we saw this Chaldea, also called Babylonia, where they, the Israelites, and we, the disabled, were killed and dehumanized in more ways than one. This is Chaldea, also called Babylonia, in which we all were robbed of our names and our humanity. This is Chaldea, also called Babylonia, where us who are disabled, as prophets, know that we are seen by God.